At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast. It's the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe, so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. 1,100 subscribers going strong entering the 2024 season. So thank you very much for joining us and checking us out. Today's guest, you see him on the right-hand side of your screen on the YouTube channel. He is the host of the Locked On Vikings podcast, a member of the Minnesota Football Party podcast as well. His name is Luke Braun. And Luke, football is back. We got all the sights and the sounds, you know, the warm breeze at TCO Performance Center, maybe some whistles blowing in the background, and the first catastrophic injury of training camp as Mekhi Blackman tore his ACL on Wednesday's practice. Let's start here. What impact does Mekhi Blackman's injury have on the Viking secondary?
Yeah, so the way it was set up before, there was a hope for the Vikings where they like Byron Murphy outside and inside, but I think they want him to play outside because of they don't really have anybody else to trust out there. And so the hope was that Mekhi Blackman would play well enough that you could play him inside in standard nickel packages, and then Byron Murphy could kick out and you'd be happy and you'd have Shaq Griffin on the other side. And that was the plan. So without Mekhi Blackman, and that's a competition, by the way, he would have had he was trying to outplay everybody on the team. Booth, Evans, you know, undrafted guys, Duke Shelley, who just got there, Kyrie Jackson before he passed away. Like, they had this whole competition in an idea. And if Mekhi Blackman was the best corner out of all of those, that was kind of the preferred situation, because now Byron Murphy can kick outside whenever they want. And they've got a guy who can play inside that they trust. So without him, they don't really have the next true slot corner on the roster is, I kid you not, like Jalen Williams. Like, they got nobody. And they just signed some random practice squad slot corner to compete with Jalen Williams for a practice squad slot from the Texans. Like,
Jacoby Francis is his name. I actually just got.
We'll see if he makes a team for the first time in his third year. So now they got a bunch of outside corner. Byron Murphy is your slot corner. Always. That's just bar none. That's going to be what it is. He's going to stay on the field probably in big nickel where Josh Metellus is playing slot, or in just like two corner sets, or, you know, four DB base sets. He'll kick back outside, so they'll at least get kind of a little bit of a rotation both in and out with him. But when they need a slot, it's Byron Murphy. That is not where the Vikings wanted to be. That's the punish here. And then the other thing is, in three corner sets, when you have Shaq Griffin on one side, Byron Murphy on the inside, which, by the way, Shaq Griffin, not a sure thing at all, but he's been taking all the first team reps. They seem to be really excited about him. We'll see if they're right. Now your competition is Andrew Booth, Caleb Evans, Duke Shelley on the outside. I don't know, Dwight McGlothern, like undrafted guys, like somebody step up. We need a young guy to step up, or Duke Shelley to do the thing. And he got cut in training camp last year. So there's as much of a hero as he was here. That feels like a long time ago in his career. So it is rough. And it was pretty rough going in anyways. Like, there were already problems, and this puts another one on it. It just kind of feels like they're going to get smoked outside a whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, as far as things that they can control, and really you can't control an ACL injury. I'm trying to put Kyrie Jackson's death in a separate bin, but that was another blow to the depth chart.
Yeah.
Just all things considered, you know, it's almost kind of like this is what they were talking about when they were talking about maybe you paid too much for Dallas Turner because, you know, you give up those third and fourth round picks. Maybe that is an idea to get another corner or get another.
I don't know if a third round pick fixes this.
No, like, no, I agree with you.
Right now, they have a slot corner that they would rather play outside, and the next nickel corner doesn't make the team. Like, they don't have another rosterable guy. If you were that, like, if you were that thin, you had bigger problems than what throwing a third. Like, they've been throwing third round picks at the cornerbacks for 3 years. It hasn't worked. They needed to do something more serious in the last 5 years. This goes back to Rick Spielman as well. So I've been harping really hard on this cornerback group for like 5 years, and people have been calling me a doomer. And it's like, well, look how bad it has gotten. Maybe they shouldn't. Like 2020, they let all three of their starting corners go at the same time, didn't bother to replace them, and it's been bad ever since. When all the light bulbs go out at once in a position like that, it takes a decade to fix it, and we're still halfway through that decade.
It's almost like mean old Zim was onto something, huh? Because everybody complained.
Maybe getting mad at him for drafting a corner every other year was wrong, and it actually is a really good idea to do that, which is what I was saying the whole time. Apologize to me, everyone.
Acknowledge Luke Braun. He was right the entire time. But, I mean, it is true. I think he said it on multiple occasions. You know, these corners get banged up. You run through them a lot. It's not like running back where some coaches believe it's just AI running in the backfield. But, I mean, it's a big hole for the Vikings. And, you know, Brian Flores was a mad scientist last year. Like, I was thinking about this last night. You know, he likes to move guys around. Is it possible that he could use some of his depth at safety to play some corner? Because Metellus, he plays everywhere, but they want
him
more.
That's what
they
do with Metellus. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what they'll do with Theo Jackson, I think, whenever he's into a little bit. But I don't think you have those guys play outside corner.
Right.
And so, yeah, like you could, I wonder if we see if the real solve for this is use more big nickel and you just don't use your standard nickel package, which just sucks. You just lose a personnel package to this, which is like maybe your roster wasn't well constructed. But if that like that feels like the lowest cost way to solve this problem is to just say, OK, Josh Metellus is in more. Like, I'm not going to complain about that.
Exactly. And I don't know. You never know. I mean, training camp is a time for any player to step up. It seemed like Andrew Booth Jr. was destined to be cut or traded at the beginning of camp. Now he has an opportunity to make a team. You know, we did mention they signed a practice squad corner to just have a body in there. Is there a notable available player out there through free agency or trade that the Vikings should be interested in this point? Because like you said, it's kind of, they're kind of dropping like flies right now.
Yeah. Kind of a moot point. Cause like they already did what they were going to do about it. they filled the roster spot. I don't think they signed Jacoby Francis, whatever that is. If they were also planning to go out and get like a Steven Nelson or a Stephon Gilmore or whatever, a lot of people were bringing up Xavien Howard. I think if you touched him, he would fall apart like a well-cooked brisket. And also some pretty toxic off-field stuff. I think that's one you don't touch with a 10-foot pole. Google his recent news if you are really excited about him and maybe temper. So I don't know if there is a serious replacement coming. I think what is going to happen, I think Kevin O'Connell talks to the media later today, and he's going to come on and they're going to ask him about, you know, the corner depth. And he's going to be, we feel really good about how all these young guys are coming along. And he's going to say some coach platitude about how, you know, we're looking a little bit. We love the competition. He'll say something to that effect. And then they're going to have a competition of a bunch of players who have struggled in the past. And someone's going to have to step up or the corners are going to suck. And guess which one of those is more likely?
The corners are going to suck.
Yeah. It's a rebuild year. There are holes all over the defensive roster. This is what we got. We get. This is the Vikings aren't serious on defense right now. Brian Flores can only scheme so much. They're just not a serious team on defense. Better luck next year with that.
And we'll get to that in just a little second here. But Digits comments in the comment section. He said, any decision on cornerback ought to be made with the future in mind, as opposed to the standard panic model.
Yeah, the 2-year band-aids. I'm a little sick of it. Can you tell I'm a little worked up about this position? I've been harping on it for years and years and years, and here it is being a problem again.
I don't want to call this your victory lap, but it almost is. Like, it's just kind of like,
I'm
hey,
not
guys,
happy about it.
No, you're not. But I mean, at the same time, it's validating. It's, you know, hey, maybe trying to put a band-aid on this and treating it again like the running back position wasn't a great idea. I think ride it out should be the motto of the 2024 Minnesota Vikings. Like, You know,
just, we're surviving. Okay. Everyone take shelter. This one's going to be rough. We've got Sam Darnold starting at quarterback. Our defense is entirely unserious. I'm sorry. There's a reason they're dead last in NFC North odds.
But Sam Darnold threw that 50-yard dot. Everybody's going to, you know, the little. I have
that was sick. I'm going to give people that. You can be excited about that. That throw rocked.
the little Pope meme where. Oh baby,
the bread basket.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, there you go. Oh, like that. That was just Justin Jefferson with that throw. Oh, yeah. Right. Football right in my hands. Brian Flores, let's talk about him a little bit, because you mentioned, you know, hey, there's a reason they're last in NFC North odds and everything else. You know, last year, what do you think was it that made Brian Flores' defense so successful in his first year in Minnesota?
It was brand new. Nobody knew what to do for like 5 weeks. That was the sickest thing ever. I did a ton of content about it because I was so fascinated by it. But essentially, so when you blitz a lot, what coverage do you play behind? Like typically, what coverage
zero.
Do you see?
Zero or
right.
One,
so man
right?
or zone. Yeah. Is yeah, zero yeah. is man or zone. It's man, right?
Man, yeah.
Yeah. So you play man-to-man coverage. This is the way things have been for 25, 30 years in the NFL. You blitz, you play man, right? Because if you're not playing zone with five people, there's too much grass to cover in the pros, because pro quarterbacks are too good at finding that hole. So it never, ever worked. In college, quarterbacks aren't as good at finding that hole. So you've got guys like Pat Narduzzi, who plays like two deep, three under coverages a lot, or the other way around, three deep, two under coverages a lot. Where we got people taking half the field, shorter, long, but playing zone a little bit, and you're hoping that the quarterback doesn't find the hole in time. And Flores co-opted that, made some spatial adjustments to change things like, you know, the NFL hashes being different and just a different level of talent, and nobody in the NFL knew what to do. And suddenly you got, you know, when he really completed this vision, the first 3 weeks of the season, the vision wasn't complete. And you had that weird Eagles game where they ran like crazy. And then you had the 200-yard Keenan Allen game. They were still kind of putting that together. They hadn't done the zone thing yet. They were still trying to play press man with Byron Murphy and Caleb Evans, and it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And then that fourth game, that Carolina Panthers game, Bryce Young had no idea what to do, because that was the first time he really saw that. And then you had Justin Fields on it a little later, and he didn't have any idea what to do. You had Patrick Mahomes throwing interceptable passes that barely didn't come down, right? That contested one with Travis Kelce. Like you had Patrick Mahomes wondering, like he was thrown off, and the Chiefs are really good. They still moved the ball, but like they had to go in their bag. And it went all the way. It was just sick. Like nobody knew what to do. They shut out the Raiders. Like nobody knew what to do. And the blitzes, especially if your quarterback already struggled with a blitz and now he's got to read a coverage he's never seen before in his life, like that smoked people. And it was really sick, and nobody had to cover because it just worked. And everybody got to do zone coverage. So you didn't have to ask a Caleb Evans to keep up one-on-one with DJ Moore. You know, like you could just zone it off. It's fine. And then the Bengals figured it out. They made a little adjustment in the fourth quarter of that Bengals game. It worked. They won the game. And then Ben Johnson came in, saw what Zach Taylor did, copied it word for word, and absolutely smoked. And then Matt LaFleur did the same thing, smoked us. Ben Johnson again, smoked. And they couldn't win another game. So that's the story of the Flores defense. So now in this chapter that we are in, the question becomes, how do you fix what happened in December? And I have no idea. But we are in territory where Brian Flores is the only person remotely qualified to come up with an answer to that question. Can it be done? And if it's so, I think I trust him to do it. Is now the tension here. But it is frustrating that he has to again, because they basically spun their wheels roster wise. They added a lot of interesting players, but they lost a lot of interesting players, right? You lose Daniel Hunter. Everybody's really stoked about Dallas Turner. I actually think there might be something going on there. But, you know, Grenard, unsung, he's not Danielle Hunter though. I like the signing, but he's not Danielle Hunter. And I don't know if you can look at that roster and say it is a better unit. So Flores is gonna have to do that again. And if he can't, uh-oh.
Yeah. And Donatel's gonna be like, I remember this.
You're gonna give it up 40 a game and hoping Sam Darnold can keep pace.
Like I think that was one of their biggest MOs coming into the offseason. I'm going to bring up Digits again because he makes a good point. He believes, you know, on offense, some explosive games, but then he starts talking about the defense and he goes, I think we'll see some sack-based turnovers, a couple of exciting upset alerts, plus a pretty high draft pick at 10. Maybe. So he's going a little bit into the future, but sack-based turnovers. I think the offseason plan was very clear for the Vikings because they went in and they tried to upgrade that pass rush system. They blitzed a ton. Their pressure rate was towards the bottom of the league. They go out, they sign Andrew Van Ginkle. They get Blake Cashman, who can rustle passer a little bit. They add Jonathan Grenard in free agency. You know, the Vikings trade up for Dallas Turner. Like a guy like Grenard, yeah, he's not Danielle Hunter. Can he be a plus, an upgraded DJ Wonnum? I think that's a good role for him. And a guy like Dallas Turner,
yeah,
he's not going to be Danielle Hunter right out of the chute, but can he be Danielle Hunter 1 or 2 years down the road when this team is going to pop? So I think it's a very layman's take because I think if the quarterback has some guys in his face, that could make the secondary's job easier and help Brian Flores maybe use that zone a little bit. I mean, it's kind of like we're back to square one after the Blackman injury.
It has to be that way, right? It has to be that, you know, these pass rushers pop off. The fact that you have that, it's not just like Danielle Hunter and the Pussycat Dolls. That it's like it's a group of more guys you have to worry about. Van Ginkle hurt right now, sounds like he's going to be back pretty soon. So, you know, that I was a little worried about that, but that worry is quelled. To your question about 2 or 3 years in the future, I think absolutely. Like Danielle Hunter or Dallas Turner is now the guy I'm like trying to watch the closest for camp. I want to see what people are talking about this guy because people are raving about this guy. So you might have somebody right off the bat that goes in and makes an impact, which is what they so desperately need. And then, at least on the front, the plan looks so much better if you get somebody who's a difference maker. But the thing about D-line is that it is about threats. Who is the threat? On O-line, it's about answers. And it's the way a lot of people put this, it's like a strong link system or a weak link system. O-line is a weak link system, right? You can have four good guys in Dakota Dozier, you're going to have a trouble on O-line because they can just attack that guy, right? D-line is a strong link system. You can have Danielle Hunter and the Pussycat Dolls and have Danielle Hunter get 12 and a half sack and have a big year, right? When you're an offense planning for a defense, a whole bunch of pretty good players on D-line, you are so much happier handling that than a D-line with, you know, Micah Parsons with Max Crosby on it. So if Dallas Turner can be that guy right off the bat, oh my God, the impact that has. That is so huge. If you want something to be excited about, and I'm being pretty negative on this one because I just don't feel great about the Vikings this year, but if you want something to be excited about, it's there. It's what is going to happen with Dallas Turner and how much impact can he have right away, and then think, and he's a rookie, and by the way, D linemen in years 2 and 3 tend to make big jumps. A lot of D linemen start off slow, so the one that starts off fast, baby, we got a stew cooking. And yeah, that will make up for the secondary for sure, right? Pressure can make everything easier, but also a really bad secondary can make pressure not matter. We saw that with Ed Donatell. They got pressure all the time with Donatell, but they couldn't cover on the back end. Ball was out in 2.5 seconds every time. Nobody could ever get home.
You know, it's kind of when you talk about Turner, watching your history of the Vikings documentary, still up on your Patreon, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're looking for something to get in the mood for the season, you can go check that out. Chris Dolman, I can't remember if it was you or somebody else said that, but like Randy Moss of the defense. That's what the Vikings need Dallas Turner to become. They basically need him to be a Randy Moss level impact player on defense to get this thing. Like, I have top 10 defense in my outline. I think that's without... They might need him to play at that level just to be a top 15 defense like they were last year, because it does seem like this is kind of... I don't want to call it catastrophic because other things have happened this offseason, but a rough roll of the dice when it comes to Blackman's injury.
It is, yeah. And it is like there are other players you would have like that could hurt more to lose, of course. Because the punish is you have to use a different personnel package than you wanted now, rather than, oh no, we had like player, like Mekhi Blackman wasn't going to play every single down. There are some downs that are unaffected by this. So at least that's there. And with competition, of course, like maybe he wouldn't have even won that job, right? Maybe Andrew Booth steps up and this is all rendered a moot point. Like there are still outs and stuff. So like there are ways to remain optimistic and excited if you want to do that. And I think that they are totally and fully valid. Absolutely. It just sucks that we have to do that right away, and people are upset because it's like we got like 10 seconds into camp and we're already talking about an ACL injury, but that happens. Especially, you know, the first day of camp, those soft tissue injuries, those ligament injuries, do tend to happen the first day of camp because the way that people work out, and it's nobody's fault, it's just that the way that people work out on their own is never going to be the same way that you work out in an actual NFL practice. And the way that, like, there's just a higher intensity that is just hard to simulate when you're like in a high school field with like your buddies. And so you're going to just cut a different way that maybe you weren't used to. So like it actually is, I would be curious to see data on this. I guess I'll call it a hypothesis that I would have is that the first day of camp may be a more common injury day just because everybody's coming back and getting full speed again. So I want to kind of try to put down a little bit the like, woe is me, Vikings fan. We can't have ever have really the first day. Like, yeah, really the first day. Yeah, kind of. And it happens. And you got to figure it out and move on. And now we just kind of need Flores to cook or else it's going to be rough. But my expectations for the defense are very low. That's the thing. I do not expect a lot from this defense. I think that what they did last year was a novelty that worked because people didn't really know what to do against it. And now people have a really great blueprint for four games for what to do against it. So I don't know really how.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good I can feel about this. I would so love to be proven wrong here. I hate looking into a Viking season and being, well, this one's going to be kind of ass. But it feels a lot like the way that I felt looking into like 2014. This is just not a complete thought yet. Kwesi's rebuild, he did the competitive rebuild thing, and that meant that for 2 years, he wasn't fully rebuilding, right? We did the Kirk Cousins thing for 2 years. It delayed the idea of truly being in a rebuild. You can really think of this the way that maybe we should have thought. We thought we were going to think about 2022. New coach, new GM, rebuilding, you know, the roster is different. Everything's been torn down and it's not finished being built back up yet. A lot of people begged for this. Yeah. A lot of people really wanted this, really wanted them to like go into the tank here a little bit. Not literally tank, but like, go. Yeah, I know. This is where we wanted to be. We've torn it down. We've gotten rid of all the old players except Harrison Smith. He gets to be the elder statesman. We'll build him a statue when he retires. But now they've gotten younger, cheaper, and worse. And now we have to endure the 5-11 or the 5-12 season that comes with that.
But you know what's crazy? Okay, so we look at, as Vikings fans, we look at 5-11 and go, oh, or excuse me, 5-12, damn, 17th game. You know, we look at a 5-12 season and we go, oh my God, it's going to be terrible. I'm thinking,
no, if you go to look at the draft pick, but y'all aren't ready for this. I'm sorry. Y'all aren't ready for this. I have seen the way that Vikings Twitter reacts when the Vikings lose their third game by Thanksgiving and go to 8-3. And people are like, what about losing the rest of them so we can still get a good draft pick? Like, that is in my mentions every time. Y'all are not ready for this. Are you kidding me?
Well,
that place was apoplectic. Twitter was on fire at 0-2. You're going to talk to me at 0-5? People are going to quit. Oh, my God, people are going to quit. If you are still with me by week 7, congratulations, you're not a quitter. But there are a lot of people that are going to be like, well, I'm going to do something else with my Sundays. They're not winning a Super Bowl this year. And I think those people should probably watch football one Sunday a year.
I remember going to the Chargers game last year. And like, my friend runs a big tailgate. So usually we got people coming in and out. We got everything else. And it was just kind of thin. I'm like, man, this seems not busy. And A, it was raining. So, I mean, that doesn't help. But he's like, yeah, 0-2 start. And, you know, a weird team in town. It's
the Chiefs game and the 49ers game was embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody showed up to that.
The stadium was red.
The stadium was completely red. Everybody gets that sick Monday night. Could you imagine? I am so happy that that game was awesome. Because that means that there are tons of season ticket holders who were like, I don't want to watch more Kirk. I don't want to watch him be 500 anymore. And they whined and they pouted and they sold their tickets to a 49ers fan and they missed the sickest Jordan Addison game and like probably the sickest game in 2023.
And then Kirk lit it up. he goes to Green Bay, and those same people were like, oh my God, if only Kirk didn't get hurt. It's like, you were ready to burn his jersey 2 weeks ago. At least I've been like, hey man, you might want to move on from Kirk for like years. Like some of these people were just like, no, if Kirk doesn't get hurt, we like make this magical run to the Super Bowl. It's like, you maybe were going 10-7. You maybe were going to the playoffs, maybe win a playoff game. But I mean, it didn't seem like this was this magical super team. I mean, you and I have sparred about the draft pick thing a little bit before, but I mean, at the same time,
yeah,
I look at this team and I'm like, they need impact players. They need to put, that's why I was so jacked about the Dallas Turner pick. I think he can be an impact player. They need more impact players. And the best way to get that usually is to be in the top of the draft, or in the case of JJ McCarthy, be in a position where you can trade up a few spots and go get your guy.
Yeah.
I think this could be an entertaining season, even at 5-12. Some people aren't going to handle it, but I think there's a lot of young players that we can look at right now that take a huge leap throughout the season. And I mean, if McCarthy does get in there towards the second half of the season and he starts to look good, I think people will feel strangely optimistic.
That's what I, so when I do Locked On NFL on Tuesdays, I say this all the time about basically any team with a rookie quarterback. Because most of the time those teams are in rebuilds and, you know, they're not immediately throwing their rookie quarterback into Super Bowl aspirations. That's a fairly rare situation, which is why I think it's okay to temper expectations this year, right? Like, we're in the middle of something. It's a work in progress. Everybody look away. We're changing clothes. But what I always say is, if the quarterback is good, nothing, you don't care. Like, if the Bears have, you know, they've got problems on defense, they've got a good core skill players now, but they've still got plenty of roster holes as well. Like, that is not a finished thought yet. But if Caleb Williams and Romo Dunze pop off and they look good and the Bears go 6-11, Bears fans will be jacked, and they will be right to be jacked. It will not matter. And I think it's the same thing. We Vikings go 5-12, but JJ McCarthy looks good in those last couple of games. I don't care. Who cares at all? Oh my, have fun in the playoffs. We got our guy. I'm chilling, because it is about the future right now. This is the Kirk Cousins era was about trying to make that a Super Bowl contender. And I never really thought that they were correct to do that, but I kind of had to respect, okay, they're going for it. They disagree with me. I have to respect that they feel different. But right now, it's about the vision of a future Super Bowl contender. And so they don't like this. This is the least pressure that Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah will ever feel in their entire tenure. They felt more pressure the last 2 years, and they will feel more pressure in the next however many they keep the job for. This is the coldest their seat will get, because all that matters is that you get something to chew on with JJ McCarthy that makes you feel a little warm and fuzzy inside. That is all you need.
You know, they should almost just show up week two, there is the home opener against San Francisco. And Kwesi should just raise competitive rebuild into the Ring of Honor. Like a Ring of Honor of catchphrases. You have straight
Oh my God, did that make people go insane?
Yeah.
No, there was an article by Suhan recently. I was like, remember the Randy ratio? Competitive rebuild is like that. And it's like, oh my God, would you like make a spend 10 seconds thinking about it? And it makes plenty of sense what they were trying to do there. They were in a situation. They couldn't just get rid of Kirk Cousins in 2022. I mean, they could have not signed him. They could have let him play out that last year on the $45 million cap hit. Like, it would have looked weird, but they did have the ability to do that cap wise and just kind of like take the blow, let him walk.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided to make it a smoother 2 year out, 2 years and let him walk. That was the plan. And then, hey, yeah, we'll talk about it at the end and we'll see if we want to re-up. And we ended up not wanting to re-up. And then that's that, right? That was the first thing Kwesi did when he got here, was come up with that idea. So 2 years of Kirk Cousins. Okay, we're not gonna waste these 2 years of Kirk Cousins now, because we had to extend it to 2 years to get him out of here. But now we've got, you know, a quarterback that, call him a top 10 quarterback for 2 years. We're not gonna waste that. We're gonna try to make that happen. But at the same time, you know, we're getting old. So we got to work with that. We got to try to get younger. We got to try to be smooth about this. And you know who really championed that idea? Wait, this is way before Kwesi ever said it. He never said the words, but he had the idea. Bud Grant. You listen to Bud Grant talk about the team transitioning in the late 70s to the early 80s, to the Tommy Kramer and Chris Dolman and Anthony Carter era. Just with Scott Studwell, whose book is behind me, like all these guys, he talked about how important it was to have the next generation waiting in the wing before you get rid of the first generation. That is a huge Bud Grant thing. And Bud Grant is the reason the Vikings have behaved that way for their entire existence since he got it, because he's been in the building giving that same directive to Rick Spielman, to Mike Zimmer, to now Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. It's a Bud Grant thing. And this is a Bud Grant team still behaving like a Bud Grant team. So if you want to whine about the competitive rebuild, just know you're on the other side of the fence as the greatest Viking to ever be a Viking.
Well, part of that strategy helped them get a franchise left tackle for the first time in a while because Christian Darrisaw got paid this week.
Mm-hmm.
Darrisaw, a 4-year, I believe it was reported $113 million, but it's actually like $110 or something. It includes $77 million guaranteed. Darrisaw now locked up through the 2029 season as it goes on to the existing 2 years of team control. That's what they call it in baseball, so we'll use it here. Were you surprised this happened so soon?
Yes, I'm actually super surprised by it. This very little of this works for Christian Darrisaw, in my opinion. I think the Vikings absolutely fleeced him and his agent. The amount, yeah, his agent gets to say highest paid tackle ever, right? And he gets to put that put that little pin on his lapel and go talk to all the college prospects and say it. Good for you. But there's two things about this that work out unbelievably well for the Vikings. This is the most unambiguous good news the Vikings have had in years. He is locked up through 2029. And Christian Darrisaw is a good player. I don't need to defend that. Christian Darrisaw rocks. Everybody loves him. Search my Twitter profile for Darrisaw and watch the clips. That dude is an absolute bully. Through 2029, he is locked up now. Team control through 2029, 6 years of team control, because that extension doesn't kick in until after his fifth year option is done. And they've structured it such that his fifth year option, now he's got a $6 million cap hit this year and a $10 million cap hit next year. And because he had a big old signing bonus this year and next year, get some of that signing bonus out of the way. So the cap hits, when they do scale, aren't even that bad by percentage of cap. We just talked about this on the Minnesota Football Party. Arif Hasan went over it. By percentage of cap, like 12-13% of cap is maybe a good left tackle. That's what a left tackle should be getting paid. He's can make like 10 when the cap is going to outscale his contract like crazy. Is the mathematical way to put it. The cap is going to grow faster than his contract. And I am and the actual average annual value is what it should have been, which is, you're a good tackle, you set the market, right? And guess what? Rashawn Slater is going to set the market. Tristan Wirfs is going to set the market too. He's not going to be the highest paid tackle for very long. It's just how it works. Everybody has to get one up on everybody else. But structure wise, doing it early, and that means that you don't get your real money for 2 years. So you're now getting what was the highest paid money in 2024. By 2026, that's going to be underpaid. He's just going to be underpaid for this whole contract, to the point where it might become a problem later, like it did with Danielle Hunter. And it reminds me a lot of that Danielle Hunter contract. When I saw that one, I went, why did he say yes to that? And I'm asking the same question. Now, that is a very solvable problem. The Vikings were very stupid about the way they solved that problem with Danielle Hunter. Didn't help that he got hurt and all that. It's a very easy problem to solve. Do what you did with Adam Thielen and say, oh, you really do deserve more money. Okay, here you go. And when that happens, if and when that happens in 2028 or whatever, I'm going to say, fantastic. Good. That's works for me. Absolutely. He deserves that. He's going to deserve more. We are going to be talking about him in 3 years. I bet my life on it, unless he like tears his Achilles and he's not the same guy or something like that. But in 27, 28, we're going to be going like, oh my God, Christian Darrisaw is really underpaid. And then you're going to see a headline. They reworked his contract. They gave him a pay raise. And I'm going to say, excellent. Whatever it takes to keep him in the building, because I don't want that to be a problem. But in the meantime, they have an unbelievable value. I cannot overstate how much value there is in this deal.
You know, it's kind of funny looking back on the Hunter thing, because it seemed like they did that with everyone. Like, it was kind of like, hey, a little bit less than, you know, market value, what you should get. And then it's like, Kendrick's got a contract. Danielle Hunter got a contract. Or excuse me, not Danielle Hunter, Adam Thielen, you just mentioned him. You know, there's probably other guys that I'm missing in there, but like Hunter was the one guy that didn't. I think that, you know, with the position that Darrisaw plays, premium position, left tackle, I think it'll be an easier decision not to blink, because this regime has kind of shifted the way they construct their roster. They're paying big money to the wide receiver position in Justin Jefferson. They're paying big money to the offensive tackle. Yeah, they're paying Aaron Jones $7 million, but it's a one-year commitment.
That's nothing, too.
Yeah.
$7 million. I mean, Josh Jacobs over in Green Bay is making like 12, right? Like,
that contract is insane. Like,
what is it?
Let me look at...
I don't want to say it wrong. It might be like 10. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 4 years, $48 million.
Good Lord.
That's AAV. That's like, I'm sure the contract value is not that crazy. Yeah, he's making 5.3 this year.
Right.
And then it scales and a whole bunch of it. Okay, that's super fake.
Monopoly. Never mind. Money.
That is deeply fake. He's out of guarantees after 2025.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Josh Jacobs is fine. I mean, when I watch him, I'm like, he's a decent back. But I mean, it also seems like there's a lot of mileage on that on those tires between Alabama and the NFL. But that's a different point.
26. By 2026, when he's going to be a cap casualty, yes,
mm-hmm.
That will be a good way to look at it.
Looking at the Vikings roster construction, you know, who do you think is going to be the next get paid on the Vikings? Do you think Brian O'Neill gets a contract? Is Cam Bynum going to get paid? Who's the next guy to get paid?
O'Neill's still a couple years away, right?
He's still. But I think
he got restructured to heck. So yeah. No, he's not in a contract year till 2026. So I would say maybe that offseason he gets the extension. He'll also be 31 by then. So maybe he doesn't.
I was wondering if he had guaranteed money because I don't think he.
He's been restructured money. Like three times. Yeah, he's super locked up.
Okay. So I guess that was it.
And he might get restructured. He's got a $26 million cap hit next year. I think he just restructure it, maybe do some void year stuff or give him like a true extension. Then, yeah, no, that'll be solvable for there's a lot of different ways. That's pretty flexible. And there's like no guarantees on it, too. So he's probably going to want he's no guarantees by next year. So, yeah, he's probably going to want a little bit. No guaranteed salary. It's Cam Bynum. And it might be coming around the corner. I think Cam Bynum deserves it. He's in a contract year. I don't really want him playing on a contract year. I don't want him to get hurt and then become a free agent. I think he needs to stay, especially since Lewis Cine isn't working out. You need a safety. Harrison Smith is probably leaving after this year. I don't want safety to suddenly go from the thing we have so many of them we're keeping six to, oh my God, it's actually an emergency need. We have too many of those already. You got to keep some of these guys in. I think Cam Bynum's earned it. And what safeties are making right now is... I think safeties generally are underpaid. So I think giving a market rate contract to a safety is actually a good value. So especially, you know, the hometown guy, the drafted guy. I want to see it before week one. Actually, I think that's the next one.
And I don't think that's going to be a market setting deal. It's probably going to be something like
12 mil a year. That's about what safeties are making.
Yeah. Maybe in the neighborhood of what Josh Metellus got last year.
I think a little more because Bynum's an every down player and Metellus isn't. But God, there is a safety that like just signed. I can't remember who it was that looked like,
so let's see here. Well, on air production. So yeah, Josh Metellus got his contract value was only $8 million. So he's signed through 2025. So it must've been a two or three year extension, $8 million. Safety. Let's see what we got going on here. Looking at over the cap here for those.
Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking of Xavier McKinney just signed with the Packers. It's a free agent deal. That is.
Yeah. He got $67 million in total value. 16.
Yeah. So
we
got 16.7. Okay. Yeah. Winfield got 21. So I think if he gets like Kyle Duggar money, 14.5, we're looking good.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that feels appropriate, right? Like that's a true starter.
Yes. Yes. And he is a starter. I mean, maybe he's a little underrated in my mind. But I mean, he plays a very important role on this defense next to Harrison Smith. He seems locked in at that second safety position.
I mean, he's a good safety. Yes. I like Cam Bynum is a quality safety worth paying. That's, I don't think that you can argue otherwise. It's just a matter of what he ends up getting and how the market views him. But that's less about quality than you think. A lot of that's just economics, and just kind of where the market is at in that particular moment. But it's time. Digits also asked about Metellus. He got a new contract last year. He's
chilling,
locked up.
Awesome. So everybody getting paid around here, you're getting paid here, Locked On Vikings. What's going on with your stuff right now?
Yeah, we're covering camp. We're wrapping out the Everyman series, which is a series where I go over the backstory, the journey, the road to the NFL for every new Minnesota Viking. I think I've got like 8 of them left. So we're finishing that out. And then, you know, we're doing training camp. I'm not going to be personally at training camp, but I'm going to have a lot of guests on that are to give us that kind of inside look. Give us that firsthand, I test talk about that a little bit, and then hey man, we got what, like 4 weeks until we're covering preseason.
Pretty wild thing. JJ McCarthy will be on. We'll be breaking down every step, every throw, the footwork, the throw, the, you know, what he had for lunch. I'm surprised the Zingerman's deli order hasn't leaked yet. Like what JJ McCarthy, he had a turkey sandwich with Wisconsin cheese. Oh my God, what is he doing?
Hey, we can all respect. Hey, look, I don't respect Wisconsin in any sense. Don't mistake me for someone who respects Wisconsin, but I do respect Wisconsin.
Cheese and beer.
They can have that. They can also drive their tractors 30 miles an hour down the highway. and I can get stuck behind it. That can also happen. And they can drive their ATV to the bar, which also in the dead of winter. These are things that I've seen with my naked eye. I do not respect you, Wisconsin.
good old
the Alabama of the North.
Yeah. That's like
with less good college football.
I'll have to forward that along. Where can people follow you on social media, Luke?
You can find me at Luke Brown NFL on social media. At Locked On Vikings is the show. Sometimes we'll tweet out of there too.
And of course,
Patreon.com/LukeBrownNFL. If you want to watch a 7-part documentary series on the Minnesota Vikings, did that 2 years ago. 7 hours total, 1 hour episodes, or on average, they vary wildly in length, but there's that, as well as a whole bunch of film breakdown content. Most of what is on there is free to watch, so go check it out. If you like it, join me, would appreciate it.
Highly recommend the Vikings documentary. I checked it out a couple years ago. I've been thinking about rewatching it. Good stuff, even if it is a little painful in the 2000s and talking about Gary Anderson's miscarriage.
It's therapeutic. Like I went into making, like, from 98 on through 2009, basically understanding that most of the people watching this don't want to relive this, but we work through it together, right?
Absolutely. Group therapy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on, Luke. We appreciate it, but that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss an episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Luke Braun, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.